God is so good. Amen. You know, today, I woke up and I was like thinking, God, like, what is it that you want to speak? And you know, today's one bring one, there'll be new people and stuff like that, right? And I asked God, like, God, what is it that you want to speak? I was like spending time with the Lord from last night. And, you know, literally God didn't speak anything. And I was like, Jesus, like you know, what's going on? Like, I really need your help, right? And this morning I just woke up and the Lord said, talk about my grace for my people. And wherever you are, church, today I'm here to tell you that the Bible writes that His grace is sufficient for? His grace is sufficient for you. In times when you have no electricity, His grace is sufficient for you. When you come to church expecting to sit in aircon, my God, His grace is sufficient for you. Although the aircon will be a huge plus at this moment, Jesus, please. You know, a huge bonus, right? Let's get into the Word of God this morning. But before we go, can we just pray? Thank you, Father. Father, we just lift up this service this morning into your hands. God, we know that you are so good. And you love us, Lord Jesus. Like, despite the things that are happening right now, whether it's no electricity or whatever, the power is out, Lord, we still choose to trust you. We still choose to worship you in spirit and in truth. All glory goes to you. Every word that comes out of my mouth, let it be from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about the grace of God. Vidya, if you can put up the scripture, you can't, right? All right? You know, I want to talk about the grace of God. And you know that God is, you know, God's love is unconditional. Amen. How many of you know that God's love is unconditional? Right, that means whether you like it or not, whether you come to church or not, He loves you and He still loves you. Right, He loves you, and whether you have gone through a rough past, whether you're still going through some rough things, whether you're stuck into some secret sin that you have, whether you're out there in the Lord, walking in the will of God, He still loves you. All right, He still loves you, and His grace is sufficient for you. So today I want to talk about grace. I want to talk about the concept of grace, because the concept of grace is the one that is easily misunderstood. Because if you go out throughout the world, if you go out there and randomly slap someone, that someone is not going to forgive you easily. Amen. Not only the power went out, you all went out also. Amen. You know, you get what I'm saying? That, you know, Jesus, the reason that He came, He gave His life, He died on the cross for you and I, is because of His almighty love. And His grace towards you, concerning your life, concerning your family. The reason that He went on the cross is because He had you in His mind. He's the ultimate purpose why Jesus came as a Son of Man, from a Son of God to the Son of Man, is to restore your relationship with the Father. Because in all of His beauty and wonder, and in all of our brokenness and ugliness and stupidity, we deserve to go to hell. But because of God's grace concerning you, concerning your life, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sin, so that you and I may have eternal. Come on, church, speak to me. Eternal? Eternal life. Eternal life. So the concept of grace is the hardest thing to understand. To the people out there, it's just foolishness. People despise the things that they do not know. They despise the thing that they do not know. Because out there, it's an eye for an eye. If you hit someone, they will whack you back. Amen. You know, this past few days, sometimes on Facebook, I will see all these guys, like, you know, having some traffic problems, accident, and these guys will come out so angry, they will hit the glass, break it, and stuff like that. Samjit is my supplier of all these videos. Because he's the traffic police in JB, you know? All right, anything you want to know, you get up, you want to go to work, you want to know where got traffic jam, just call Samjit. He will survey the place for you and He will let you know. All right? And the world is so broken that everyone is like on the edge of their seat. Everyone is like you do something wrong and they are going to pound and hound at you. All right? But not so the concept of grace. The concept of grace is that Jesus said, if someone slaps you on the left, offer him your right. the foolishness of that thing to say. When someone gives you a slap on your left, what do? People will say, you slap lah, you must stand up for yourself, you know. You know, if I don't want to say anything else, you know, and but the concept of grace is that Jesus said, if someone comes and persecute you, that you will offer your right-hand side to be persecuted as well. Because that's the concept of grace. That's how Jesus, in all of his beauty, showed his love towards you. Because God's love is unconditional. So whether you like it or not, whether or not you will still accept him, 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross for you and I. And that was his demonstration of his grace. The next breath that you take as you sit down here is another demonstration of the grace of God in our lives. Because we don't deserve this breath that we are able to breathe in. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't deserve it, but God, being so loving, sent his son to die for us so that you can take that breath. And even with the same breath the world rejects the Lord Jesus, he still, while they were still sinners, he still died on the cross for each and every one of that. That is your grace. That is the grace of God. All right? And the number one, all right? Why? Number one, all right? We're going to talk about a few things. God restores. Number one, grace always comes with restoration. You see, there's so many broken people that enter into the church today, go out of the church today. But number one, the Lord's mission is always to restore. Aaron, it's always to restore. It's never for you to come to church and leave lacking. But it's always to restore and give you more than you can hope for. Number one, that's grace. Number one, God, grace always comes with restoration. Grace always comes with restoration. That means when you come before the Lord with a repentant heart and say, Lord, forgive me from doing this, the Lord doesn't give you forgiveness for only today. He overflows your whole life with the grace of God, with the forgiveness of the Lord, because that's who he is. Because wherever Jesus is, there's always hope, there's always restoration. Amen. Come on, church, don't sleep on me. When I say amen, you say amen as well. All right? All right? And love is, you know, love is not conditional. Good, perfect, holy. All right, we don't have the scripture as well, right? Okay, so if you can, take out your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Man, this verse starts with a scary, you know, sentence. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. So it starts off with saying these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, it says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It starts off by saying you were broken, you were far from the Lord, you had no access to Jesus, you are addicted to sin, but the Lord says there's a but, he put there, there's a but. Since you were, you know, and such were some of you, but you were washed. That means while you were still sinners, while you were still broken, the Lord had already washed you clean. But you were sanctified. While you were still sinners, he already sanctified you. But you were justified in the name of the Lord. That means those who accuse you, those who stand in front of you to accuse you, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus stands beside you to justify you. Amen. That means while you were still sinners, the Lord fought for you. Fought for your right to live. Fought for your eternal life. Do you know, there's always this thing, my teacher always tells me, there's no such thing as a free lunch. He always tells me this. There's no such thing as a free lunch. That means when you go out, you know, you get a free gift. It's free for you, but someone has to bear the cost. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Yes. All right. When you go outside and uncle say, come, let me buy you lunch. For you, it's free, but who paid the cost? The uncle. you know, Uncle Francis like to blunder me dinner all the time. Don't know if he's here. Right, he always takes us out. And there's no such thing in a free lunch. That means salvation wasn't free. Salvation isn't free. Salvation was a gift for you, but someone else paid the price. Someone else paid the price fully, not in installment, you know. Jesus didn't die a bit here, die a bit there for you. Because some of us, too much sin, he have to pay installment. No, I'm just kidding. All right? And Jesus died one shot fully, and he paid the price fully for you, Aaron. For you, Helena. He paid the price fully for you. All right? And when he went on the cross, right? While he was dying on the cross, he died for people not only sitting here in the church, but those people out there who don't know him as well. So when you go out there, every single person that you pass by, always know the heart of God burns for this kind of people. All right? And the only way for them to encounter Jesus, encounter the grace of God, is if you behave as if you're the grace of God. Because no one else out there is going to know Jesus without them knowing you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? But we are so caught up sometimes sitting, like, you know, just being here. Oh, I want to worship the Lord and go home and pray. That's all. And out there, your friends are like, why aren't you telling me about the gospel? Do you understand what I'm saying? The grace of God was manifested through Jesus Christ, that right now it is manifesting through the people of God, the sons and daughters of God, which is you and I. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this too deep? Come on, church, you're too quiet today. It's good? Amen? Yeah. Amen. Lord, we pray for the aircon to come. Amen. Yeah. Well, that one all, everyone said amen, huh? No, I'm kidding. All right? And God loved us while we were still sinners. And right now, he calls us his children. He calls us his children. That means you and I have the identity as sons and daughters of God. You and I have the identity of the grace of God. That means we are walking grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are the walking grace of God that's relevant to the people out there. The people out there are looking for answers. The world is so broken that they are looking for an answer in all kinds of places except the church. They will not come to the church, but the church of God has to go to them. And we are the church of God. We are the grace of God that carries the beautiful, majestic grace of God to the people out there. Amen, church. So God's grace is always to restore, never to harm you. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means if you're here with a broken past, let me tell you, I have a good news for you. You are the most eligible candidate for the grace of God. If you're sitting here and thinking, I'm not worthy, like I did this, I did that, you know, all kinds of sin, please come in front, list down all your sins. God is not going to fall off the throne listening to your sins. He's not like, oh, yo, you did that, oh my Jesus. Yeah, God's not like that. You know, he's like, that doesn't surprise me. I paid that price 2,000 years ago when I sent my son to die on the cross so that he may restore your life and restore your life abundantly. Amen. Amen. Can we go to point two? All right. Number two, like I said just now, salvation is by God's grace. All right. Salvation is by God's grace. It's not by our works that we are saved. Amen, church. All right. Just give me 7 minutes. I'll finish fast. Then you all can run out of here. Okay. I know it's very hard. All right. All right. Where was I? And it's not by our works that we are saved. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. All right, next time, let's bring our book Bibles, all right? Easier to turn. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you have been," come on, say it with me, "for by grace you have been," true faith, "not that of yourselves, it is the," so don't go trying to earn the gift of God, all right, verse 9, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." That means it is by grace that we have been saved, true faith. That means the salvation of God is conditional. Conditional. Love of God is unconditional. Whether you like it or not, Sister Dorothy, He loves you. Amen. But the salvation of God is conditional. Do you get what I'm saying? Because the gift, when some, let's say it's Adrian's birthday, I come with a gift towards him and I give him a gift, it is his responsibility whether to accept or reject the gift. Amen. So the conditional, whether he enjoys the gift, depends on one thing and one thing alone. It's whether he accepts the gift. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not by your works, but it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. That means someone 2,000 years ago paid the price on the cross, and there's a gift for you, but it's whether you will want to accept the grace of God, the gift which is Christ Jesus, all right? That He died for us and salvation was given to us. Understand what I'm saying, church? Amen. All right? And if you look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, turn with me to Titus, all right? Very fast, okay? Very fast. And then we run out of here. We go eat lunch at some aircon place. Samjit, can you decide lunch? Think about it, all right? Okay, church, help me. Where is Titus? After Timothy. Thank you, Sister Dorothy. Where is Timothy? Okay, found it. All right. So, you remember at the start I told you, right, there's many misconceptions about grace, right? You hear sometimes if you go to different churches and different people, they always say grace, the Christians, the people today, believers today, are treating grace as a license to sin. How many of you have heard that before? Raise your hands. Like grace is a license to sin. That means like, oh, they can do anything, go murder someone, and then they come inside the church and then say, Jesus, please forgive me, and Jesus forgives. You understand what I'm saying? So everyone has this misconception that grace is a license to sin. What do I have to reply to that? Just one thing. You have not read the Bible. That's it. Because the Bible, the answer to this lies in the Bible. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11.
Titus chapter 2 verse 11.
Listen to this closely, church.
Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Stop. For the grace of God that brings
salvation
has appeared to what?
All men.
All of us. Right? All of us, right? Okay. Listen to the next verse closely. Listen to the first two words of the next verse.
Teaching us.
Stop. Teaching us. So what is teaching us?
The grace of God.
Come on, church. You understand what I'm saying? For the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us. So what is teaching us?
The grace of God
is teaching us. Next.
Denying ungodliness.
Teaching us to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness.
The grace of God.
Grace of God.
And worldly lusts.
Next.
We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age.
Alright. So, for people who are saying that grace is a license to sin, no. Grace is an empowerment for you to get out of your sin.
Amen.
That's grace. Because grace teaches us to deny ungodliness.
Yes.
To leave worldly lusts. It's not a thing that, oh, that's a passport, I can enter into sin city, go all out, and then come out and say my prayers, Lord, please forgive me, and Jesus sprinkles His forgiveness upon me. No, it doesn't work that way. When you properly step into the grace of God, Kevin, if you properly enter into the grace of God, your appetite for the things of the world will slowly start diminishing.
Amen, amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because that's the grace of God. The grace of God is not a thing that says, Brady, go and sin all you want. Jesus loves you. No, the grace of God is harder to live out than living in sin. Because in the Old Testament, all right, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, here's what it says. Once you do a sin, that's when the punishment comes. Understand what I'm saying? All right? Once you do the sin, that's when the punishment comes. But in the New Testament, where we are under grace, Jesus said, even before you complete the act, even if you look into your eyes, look with your eyes and lust, it's better for you to pluck out your eyes. That means even before you do the sin, all right, God was saying, even if you look at someone's wife, it's better for you to pluck out your eyes. All right, it's harder to live out the standard of grace. For us, we're always thinking, ayo, you know, you just sin lah. And then like grace is a license to just sin lah. Because grace is like what? We can do whatever we want and Jesus will still forgive us what? Yes, Jesus will still forgive us. But we are talking about salvation. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's not like a thing like, oh, Jesus died for me and then one way ticket to heaven. Many of us think one save, always save. Personally, I don't believe it's true. Because 80% of the time when Jesus was talking about being born again, losing your soul, was not to the people out there, was to his own disciples. The people who were closest to him. So we think that once saved, always saved. No, Jesus was preaching salvation again and again to his very own disciples. Because he said, what profit is a man if he gains the world, but he loses his own soul? So you think grace is easy? No, grace holds you to a higher standard. Because grace comes with conviction as well. Understand what I'm saying, church? That's how powerful grace is. It's not something to be lightly taken off. All right, and we go to the next point. It says, and the beautiful thing about grace is God has taken all of your punishment. Because you actually, Samjit deserved to be nailed on the cross, actually. Huh? Don't say these kind of things, lah. Samjit deserved to be nailed on the cross. Adrian, I think 3 times he deserved to be nailed on the cross, actually. Maybe for me, they need to use bigger nails, I think. Too much sin, actually. You know what I'm saying? We deserve to be on that cross. But because Jesus loves us so much, if you're sitting here and you don't believe in Jesus, let me tell you, he loves you so much. Church, he loves you so much. He loves each and every one of us so much. All right, we always think Jesus gets you. Yes, he gets you. That means no matter what pass you come in, right, he still like loves you. But he holds you to a higher standard. And our standard is the Word of God. Our standard is the Word of God. And he loves you so much that he has taken your punishment. He has taken your punishment fully on the cross. All right, and it says, you know, in my first point, it says, if you believe in Jesus, God has then dealt with your sins. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. That's the most powerful verse. For he was wounded for our transgression. Come on, say it with me. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment of our sin was upon him. Come on, declare, by his stripes we have been healed. We have been healed. Because when he took your punishment on the cross, he took all your shame, he took all your failures, he took all your sins and he nailed it on the cross. That's the powerful grace of God. And God sent his only son to take your punishment. But sometimes the problem is with us is sometimes we like to punish others. The thing is, we have received the forgiveness of God, but we don't offer forgiveness to our neighbor right next to us. You sit so close, one. You have no space to sit on my chair. You don't think he showered today. Thank God I've not come past anyone like that, you know. Morning church smelly. Oh, you, Jesus, help me. No such thing, you know. You know, like, and we are so like, for us to practice grace to the next person, the person next to us, it's so hard. And Jesus is like, dude, I forgave you. And you can't forgive the person right next to you. And that grips, because a lot of that happens in the church today. If you go out there, right? If you go to the bar, the pubs, right? I tell you, these guys are like, they are dancing. You hit them a bit or so. Hey, nombrero, hey! Like that, you know? They don't care. No one cares. No one cares. Because when they are drunk, right, forgiveness is at 100%. Maybe not for Indians. No, I'm just joking. You know? You know, and but then when you come to the church, it's like, hey, why you dress up like this? Your shoes look like that. You wear slipper to church. Ah? Oh, my God. No wonder lah, Malaysia is not progressing because of people like you. Ah, you're wearing slipper. I remember last time when I was 12 years old, there's this brother always, lah, always when I wear sandals, hey, why are you wearing like this? Then I was thinking, what? I mean, what, you think Jesus wore Nike shoe that time? He also wore sandals, right? You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I still remember him, Brother Desmond, you know? He always, yeah, how come you wearing this? All right. And then, yeah, sometimes we punish others when God has already forgiven. So the thing about this is, because we have not fully entered into the forgiveness of Jesus, we have the need of punishment to be satisfied within us. So we take it out on the person next to us. This is a bit deep. All right, we take it out on the person next to us. So when someone does you wrong and he comes and say, I'm so sorry I did this, you feel like, oh, I don't want to say I forgive you because I want him to suffer, then only I will forgive him. Why? Because there's a satisfaction of punishment that needs to be fulfilled in your life. And that needs to be taken out by God. It's because you have not properly stepped into the forgiveness of God. That's why you feel like other people needs to get punished. Then only you feel like freedom, Jesus. And Jesus is like, man, you need forgiveness yourself. And it's a satisfaction of punishment. That's a very dangerous thing to have. When you get joy, when you feel joy when someone else is punished. If you were in primary school, I think you will see a lot of students like this. Teacher, he didn't do homework, teacher. Then teacher say, come, rotan you. And then behind that boy. Because in my life, I also got those kind of guys. I tell you. If I find them now. Samjit is. Samjit and. Samjit and I used to go to the same primary school. My mom will give me 1 ringgit every day, But 60 cents, Samjit will take. Really? Really? I tell you, church, Samjit? Samjit will take my lunch money. Really? Okay, and that time, we didn't go to the same church, right? I didn't know him, who's this big guy taking my money from me, right? I can't say no, right? I'm a small boy. Many years later, I walk into Calvary Community Church. Listen. At 14 years old, I walk into Calvary Community Church. I see that same person who stole my money playing drums. And I'm thinking, this bugger, he took my money and he's worshiping the Lord. That is the grace of God. That's the grace of God. But Samjit has paid back all his dues. You know, that time when I got no license, he will be the first one to fetch me wherever, you know. He will come in his small Kalisa. Yeah, small one, you know, yellow color one. And yeah, so Sam, thank you for making me who I am today, stealing all my money. All right. Church, last 2 points and then we go. And the beautiful thing about God is that he understands our weaknesses. He understands. God is not a person that he will not sympathize. All right, he understands your weaknesses, but he's calling you to a higher standard. And with weakness comes his forgiveness. In your weaknesses, right, his strength is made perfect. That's what the Bible says. And he knows your weakness, all right? And God knows your past, God knows your present, and God knows your future mistakes. That means when you get up today and go out of there, right, and suddenly one car come and cut you, right, and you say all kinds of words, right, God is already like, I know, child, forgive. and he forgives you, and he knows your weakness, all right? And he knows the temptation that we face because he has faced it before. Yet, in all those temptations, he did not sin. So I always ask the Lord, Lord, why didn't you just be God? Why did you have to come as a son of man and die on that cross? Because you, do you know when 30 years old, when Jesus was 30 years old, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. That's when, you know, he started working in the power. He started doing miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you know that Jesus was not operating in the gift of God? He was operating in the gift of man. Why? To show his sons and daughters what the Holy Spirit can perform through each and every one of you. He did it as a man. You can say, right, Jesus did not sin because he was God, ma. He's God, la. Of course he won't sin. No, he was man. He was 100% God, 100% man. And he was fulfilling his will as a son of man. He was without blemish. He was without sin. That he went on the cross. When he went on the cross, the Bible says no one recognized him. No one recognized him. Passion of Christ, we saw a couple of weeks ago. We still recognize Jesus, right, being nailed on the cross. But the Bible says no one recognized him. No one recognized him. And beautiful thing about Jesus is that he knows us. He knows your inside out. He knows your weakness, all right? But he still restores. His grace is still for you, amen? Last point and then we go, all right? Final point, God does not remember your sins. God does not remember. Literally, the Bible says God does not remember your sins. But you know, sometimes we can be powerful reminders of our sins to God. God, I did this last week. God is like, I don't remember. God has spiritual dementia when it comes to your sins. God has forgotten it. Forgotten it. But we are the ones. Still remember, Lord, I'm not worthy, Lord. I did this 25 years ago. 25 years ago, I did that. Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do, Lord. Like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in church. I'm not worthy to be this. But the Lord has already paid the price for you. And not really do you remember your own sins. Sometimes you remember the sins of the person sitting next to you. Do you understand? Bro, 25 years ago, you did this, you know. When I walk in church, I give my hand to shake your hand. You didn't. You just walk away. Then you take the mic, pray for Malaysia. I very offended. Samjit? you know, 15 years ago, you know, if I'm still angry with Samjit, right, for taking my 60 cents every day, I could still hold on. I could still hold on to it. Just an example, I could still hold on. But I think Samjit wouldn't even know that I'm holding a grudge. And who's hurting? He's not hurting. He's married happily, what? But I'm the one that's hurting. I'm like, Jesus, Samjit lah, Jesus. 1 ringgit, I can buy burger, you know. Then only can buy nasi lemak, Lord. And we hold that grudge. And we remember the sins of the people next to us. When God has forgiven us. And number two, and not only we do remember their sins, and we judge them with their sins. We judge them. And so many years later, if Samjit and I, like, you know, we are serving together, and God has, like, called Samjit to do something, and what I will do is, as much as I can, I will hinder the call of God in Samjit's life. Sam, I don't think you should take the mic and pray for Malaysia. Yeah, you stole my money. That's why 2.6 billion went missing in Malaysia, because of you. You know, all these kind of things. Because why? God does not remember his sins, we do. We hold on to it. That's why we come into church, there's so much offense. Sometimes there's so much offense. You know, we come, we want to say hi to auntie, the auntie, go. Then, are you auntie, what I did to you? You don't know what you did to me, you think lah. Auntie, I don't know, really don't know. Do you know what I'm saying? And one last verse, Psalms chapter 103 and verse 12. Are you all okay, church? Thanks for hanging in there, right? Psalms Psalms 103 and verse 8. 103 and verse 8. All right, I leave with this. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in his mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not, look at this, verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, the powerful scripture. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed the transgression from us. Can we just stand to our feet today? Church, he has forgiven your sins. That's the powerful message of the Bible. If you will leave today with anything, and if you forget everything that I preach today, just remember this. In Romans chapter 5, it says, as sins abound, grace abounds much more. Much more. And grace is your only way out of sin. Grace is your only way out of sin. Because in Titus chapter 2, it says that it teaches us to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust. So if you're stuck in sin today, let me tell you, men, if you're stuck in all kinds of things, if you're watching things that you're not supposed to be watching, if you're doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, I'm just going to be serious. Church, you need to enter into his forgiveness and hold on to the grace of God. Grace of God. And to all my sisters out here, if you're holding on things that have been hurting you, it's time to let go today, because God has forgiven you. And it's time to offer forgiveness to the person next to you. And he loves you so much, church. He loves you so much, and his grace always abounds towards you. Amen? Can we just close our eyes? I'll just end in prayer. Thank you, God. Just close your eyes. Just give me 5 more minutes, right, church? Come on, if that is you today, if you feel like, God, like, I really need your grace to overcome this sin in my life. I need grace to overcome these things in my life. I can't seem to let go of this addiction. If that is you, every eyes closed, I want you to be bold with faith. I want you to raise up your hands. That's right. I see your hand. That's right, I see those hands at the back. Yep. Come on, if that is you, you feel like, God, I need your grace to let go of this. Come on, just lift up your hands from the front to the back. Yep, I see that hand. Yes, yes, sir. Thank you so much. Yep, thank you, sister. Thank you, Jesus. Come, put your hands down. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all these decisions, God, to let go. And let God. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you honor each and every one of them. Lord, let grace be so real in their lives, Lord. Lord, that they will experience you in a tremendous measure, God. The Lord, we will step into your forgiveness today, Lord Jesus. The Lord, I pray, God, that whatever that we need to let go, where there needs to be forgiveness, let there be forgiveness. Where there needs to be healing in the hearts of your people, let there be healing, Lord Jesus. Lord, where there needs to be freedom, oh God, from letting go all these offenses, all this brokenness, oh God, let there be freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Come and receive the forgiveness of the Lord. Receive your healing from the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. That's right. He's touching some of you right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. He's coming upon you. He's coming upon you. That's right. Receive from the Lord right now. Receive from the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your love. I release your forgiveness. I release your grace upon your people, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Father, bless your people, oh God, even as they go out of this place. Lord, I pray they will experience you in a greater measure, God. Lord, they will know you. They will feel you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, God, where there needs to be healing, let there be healing. When there needs to be breakthrough, whether in finance, in relationship, in family, let there be breakthrough, God. Lord Jesus, we just give you praise and glory, God. We love you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Can we give glory to Jesus in this place? Amen, amen, amen. Church, you know, with this, the service is over. But let me tell you just one thought before you go. All right, hold on to the grace of God. All right, hold on to the grace of God. You know, in the book of Psalms 23, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd is always looking after you. Do you know the rod is used for what? Not to sayang the sheep, it's to hit the sheep. So even though it's sometimes maybe God is correcting you, it's painful, but always know that his rod and his staff, they will comfort you. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. God bless you, church. I'm so sorry for the power and whatever, for the heat. All right. God bless you. We will see you next week. All right.